funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, the Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer reporting from Taney County, Missouri. Come along and join me for a conversation with Jeff Wilhoit at Table Rock and Big Cedar Lodge. The destination was the vision of Johnny Morris, founder of Bass Pro Shops. Come along and join the conversation to discover the rest of the story.
My name is Jeff Wilhoit, and I work for Big Cedar Lodge, and we are at Johnny Morris's Top of the Rock.
Johnny Morris, his claim to fame back in the day was?
Well, in 1972, he founded this little bait shop called Bass Pro Shops.
At his dad's garage or something?
It was his dad's liquor store, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's called Brown Derby, and his dad gave him 8 feet of retail space in that liquor store. And he started selling fishing lures, and it's turned into the largest outdoor company in the country. It's pretty
probably
neat.
In the world.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So here we are, just one of his enterprises. Where are we exactly?
So Bass Pro Shops has a hospitality division, and so we are at Top of the Rock, which is part of Big Cedar Lodge, which is a resort in southwest Missouri. We're just a couple miles from the Arkansas border, and this is 4,600 acres, and Top of the Rock is part of that. It's the highest point in the county, and it has lots of different activities and dining options here at Top of the Rock.
Are there places to stay right up here on Top of the Rock?
There's one place to stay. It was actually used in the Civil War. It was built in 1840, and it was built in Potosi, Missouri, and then we transported it here and had an Amish craftsman team reassemble it, and you can actually spend the night up here at Top of the Rock. And then just next door is Big Cedar Lodge, and we have over 320 cottages and cabins and lodge rooms.
Over your shoulder, it's all restaurant up there and bar?
Yes, we have three different restaurants here. We have Arnie's Barn, which is another barn that was transported here from Latrobe, Pennsylvania by Amish craftsmen, and they reassembled it. It happened to be connected to Arnold Palmer's land, and so now is a Mexican restaurant.
He came out to see it
after you moved it, huh? Right before he passed away, he got to come see it, and he absolutely loved it. It's all American chestnut beams, and it's 250 years old. And then we also have the Osage Restaurant, which is a beautiful restaurant that pays homage to the Native Americans. Incredible light fixtures and incredible food. And then below that, we have the Buffalo Bar, and that features this amazing sunset celebration, which you're going to get to experience here in just a few minutes.
Every night, huh?
That's right. Every night, we fire a cannon that was used in the Civil War right at sunset, and then a bagpiper plays as the sun goes down. It's just a really cool experience.
My favorite thing that we saw and did was your Native American Museum. Artifacts.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yes. I think it's probably the greatest collection of Native American artifacts in the country, especially privately held by one individual. It's just incredible.
Caveat is that Johnny had Native American tribes, any and all that were involved in having artifacts. They came here and did a blessing.
That's right. When he started the museum, he wanted to do it right because he loves the Native American culture so much. So he invited all the tribal leaders to make sure that we had done it correctly and to their liking. And they not only liked it, they loved it. And they performed a blessing ritual on it.
The cultural sensitivity today is
right.
Hyper.
Right, exactly. Welcome to the Ancient Ozarks Natural History Museum at Top of the Rock. This is 40,000 square foot museum underground, under at Top of the Rock, and it's pretty incredible. It features Native American artifacts and all the way up to the Civil War. We're going to see some incredible and rare artifacts. I like to start right here with this letter because it explains why Johnny Morris loves the Native American culture, and they were our very first conservationists. When Johnny was 16, he was walking across a freshly plowed field. He just got off the river fishing with his dad, and he looked down and he found his very first arrowhead, and he held it in his hand and he wondered, who was the last person that touched this? What did they look like? He just told me recently he was wearing tennis shoes and jeans, and here he was holding this ancient arrowhead, and he just wondered, you know, what did that culture look like? How did they dress? And so that started his love affair with the Native American culture, and it's turned into this. It's the largest privately held collection in the world.
Does he work in concert with Native American
Yes,
people?
Absolutely. And the museum opened in 2015, but in 2014, we invited all the tribes, all the leaders from the tribes that are represented in the museum, to get their blessing on this museum before it opened. They actually performed a blessing ritual on the museum, and they absolutely loved this museum. So we have about 40,000 arrowheads in our collection, a lot in storage, but we have a lot here. This is my favorite. All of these were found by Johnny Morris in high school, and he made that pretty cool presentation of those arrowheads. That's my favorite one. 8,500 axe heads. Display cases from the Osage tribe. That would have been the tribe that would have been in this area as the Osage. They were known for brightly colored clothing. It's a short-faced bear. Over 100 have been found in Missouri, and not too far from here, a few have been found in a cave that we have called John L's Cave that Johnny discovered. There are claw marks 15 feet high in that cave, and we know that's from the short-faced bear because they could reach up to 15 feet high.
Could spend a day here easy.
Oh, easy. Johnny loves the Field Museum of Chicago, so we had some of the artists that have created the dioramas for the Field Museum of Natural History. Had them come here and create 5 dioramas for us. So these are some ancient creatures that would have roamed the Ozarks. Native American toys, priceless paintings that are just phenomenal. Some of the detail in these paintings are just incredible. Ancient Indian pottery.
How far afield did these artifacts come from?
Across the U.S., but this is the oldest thing we have in the museum. This is called the Hopewell Tradition Pot, and so this is from 200 BC to 500 AD. We have an original Remington painting, and that is an oil painting. We also have 5 of his that are watercolor. These are things that would have been used in ceremonies, pipes, and flutes. I love these. So this was from a North Dakota highway patrolman that's retired. His name is Roger Warmers, and he takes these alabaster rocks and carves these incredible Indian sculptures into these rocks. This is the Edward Curtis Gallery, and Edward Curtis was a famous photographer from around 1895. His mission was to travel all over North America and take pictures of Indians in their natural habitat. No one had ever done that before. So he asked Teddy Roosevelt and J.P. Morgan for $75,000. They gave it to him, and for 10 years he traveled all over North America and took these incredible pictures and put them in a volume of book called The North American Indian. So we own one of those books. These are pictures from that book. We also have an original glass plate negative that is from the trip. He also invented the batwing frames, and those are original Edward Curtis batwing frames. But he also invented something pretty cool. It's called the gold tone. So he put flakes of gold in the developing process and came up with this kind of sepia tone that's just beautiful. So these dresses are from the Crow tribe. And they were known to make these dresses called elk tooth dresses. And so elk in the back of their mouth have 2 teeth that are ivory. The rest are made of bone, but 2 of them are ivory. So some of these dresses would have taken a lot of elk to make these ivory elk tooth dresses. So that young lady, her dad was probably either a chief or a very good hunter to get that many ivory elk teeth. We're about to enter probably the greatest collection of war shirts anywhere in the country. In order to get the right to wear a war shirt, an Indian had to do a list of different things. They had to steal the enemy's horse, get a locket of hair from the enemy without killing them. All these different things they had to do in order to get the right to wear one. So these bead patterns, another Indian could look at these bead patterns and they would know what tribe they were from, what battles they had fought in. This is just an incredible display of these just very well preserved war shirts. So the museum is laid out in chronological order, so now we're getting to the Old West days. One of my favorite movies is Tombstone, and of course that was about Doc Holliday, and we have none other than Val Kilmer's outfit that he wore in Tombstone. This is the outfit from the movie. A few years ago I got to take Val Kilmer through the museum So this is Sitting Bull's war vest and headdress that he wore during Custer's last stand. You can see the bullet hole right in the front of the vest. This is the desk that General Custer made the decision not to bring in the Gatling gun, so that was a fateful decision that changed the whole battle. These are the guns that were used during Custer's last stand, also called the Battle of Little Bighorn. We know that from the serial numbers that these were used in the battle. Gatling guns that were used in the Spanish-American War. This is Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, so we have several costumes from the show, and that really popularized cowboys versus Indians. I love to read this stat here. In 1899, Buffalo Bill's Wild West show covered 11,000 miles in 200 days, giving 341 performances in 132 cities across the U.S. and all over the world. They performed for the Queen of England all over the world. One of the performers in that show was a young lady that was a pretty good shot, and her name was Annie Oakley, that's right, and we have her gun. We have her gun and her travel trunk here. She said it's a disgrace to shoot a squirrel anywhere but in the head because it spoils the meat to hit him anywhere else. This is a little display that's a tribute to Roy Rogers, King of the Cowboys. We're coming to a part that's really special, and this is a tribute to the Civil War. And this is Abraham Lincoln's desk that he used when he was a lawyer in Springfield, Illinois. And on the back of that desk, there is a document that he drew up when he was a lawyer, and he signed on the back. One of the most legendary Civil War artifacts is this pocket watch that was in a soldier's jacket right above his heart, and the bullet struck the pocket watch, stopped it, and saved his life. This might be one of the most incredible Civil War artifacts known to man. This is a 10-pound Parrott rifle, and this is a cannon that was used at the Battle of Gettysburg. And it was right in the middle of the Battle of Gettysburg, which was called Pickett's Charge. And so there, the other cannons that were next to this one took direct hits, and they got taken out, leaving this cannon. They put over 300 rounds through this one, and the Union won the Battle of Gettysburg, and it wasn't long after that that the Confederates surrendered because of all the losses at the Battle of Gettysburg. So this cannon might have changed the whole battle. This small corner of the museum is pretty incredible. We have some of the most amazing artifacts in American history right here in this corner. This is a locket of hair from Abraham Lincoln. Back then it was customary for the undertaker to clip a locket of hair from different dignitaries that had passed away, and it was given to important folks. So this was given to Lincoln's Secretary of War. And then we also have the flag that was on Lincoln's casket. There's two known Lincoln flags from the funeral. One was on the train and one was on his casket. One's in the Smithsonian, and this is the one that was on his casket. We also have George Washington's hair. So we have a locket of hair, and that locket of hair was given to a congressman, and it was passed down through that congressman's family, and we purchased it from that family. And then probably my favorite thing in the whole museum, this is the saddle pad that George Washington rode on during the Revolutionary War, during the founding of our country. Pretty incredible artifact. And we end right here with a letter from Chief Seattle called This Earth is Precious. And it's one of the most profound letters and statements ever written about the environment. It was written in 1854 by Chief Seattle when the President of the United States wanted to purchase land from the Indians, and so this is his response, and he says, "How can you buy or sell the sky, the warmth of the land? The idea is strange to us." You know, they don't own the land. It was for them to pass on to their children. So it was a very important letter, and Johnny absolutely loves this letter, so everyone is able to take a copy of this letter as they exit the museum.
Share another secret with what we've done today.
We went on a pretty cool 2.5-mile nature trail that Johnny Morris carved out of the Ozark Mountains. It took almost 7 years to build these 2.5 miles of trails that go through it. We rode an electric cart. We got to see some amazing waterfalls. We even went in a cave, and you got to belly up to the bat bar.
In the cave.
Inside the cave, and had a little beverage.
That was fun. Anybody can come here and rent a little golf cart, family, solo, whatever, and go on that tour.
Absolutely. It's very popular. It's a great family activity because everyone can participate, young and old alike, and it gets people in close contact with nature. And that's Johnny's whole goal, is to get people outdoors and in contact with nature.
That's the church bell?
Yes. We rebuilt a chapel here. It looks like it's from ancient Europe, but we built it in 2014, and we have weddings there. And the back of it is all glass, and it has this incredible view of Table Rock Lake.
Super popular.
Very popular.
A little bit more about the Empire here.
Yeah, so we are in the golf business now. So right now we're sitting surrounded by this incredible Jack Nicklaus designed 9-hole par 3 golf course called Top of the Rock. And then just maybe 15 minutes from here, we have 4 world-class golf courses. Buffalo Ridge, which was designed by Tom Fazio. Mountaintop, which is designed by Hall of Famer Gary Player. Then we have Ozarks National, and that's a Coor and Crenshaw design course. And then the one that is making news all over the world is Payne's Valley, and that was designed by Tiger Woods, and it's actually 19 holes. So Tiger designed 18, and then Johnny got to design an extra bonus 19th hole.
That's pretty rare.
Yes. It's carved into a 250-foot bluff, and after you play the hole is an island, and after you play the hole, you go on an adventure of a lifetime in your cart. You actually drive your golf cart through a cave, and it's about a 15-20 minute ride up the side of a bluff in order to get to the clubhouse.
How cool. Well, back in the olden days, the 19th hole was always the bar.
That's right. And of course, we have a bar there. So before you tee off on the 19th hole, they fix you a drink with this amazing bar and waterfalls that you cannot believe. It's just breathtaking, these waterfalls. And then you get to play the 19th hole, and it's about 130-yard par 3. And just last week, we had 2 people make a hole-in-one.
Wow.
An hour apart.
No.
Yes.
The stars were aligned.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, to learn more about your world,
go to BigCedar.com. My name is Jeff Wilhoit.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst. From swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean, these experiences are unparalleled in their historical relevance and grandeur. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to preserve the past to inspire future generations of dreamers. This is accomplished through the youth education program focused on deserving junior high students across California. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle, one of the most awe-inspiring locations in the world. The legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture, is woven into the Foundation at Hearst Castle's mission. Julia Morgan's life can continue to inspire and empower young women and young men all over the world. This is one of the few opportunities to donate to such an important cause that not only changes the lives and perspectives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors. Please go to the website, foundation@hearstcastle.com, to learn more about how you can help us with our important mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. And in fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So yes, please support your local NPR station.